the Hey 10 Podcast is excited to introduce the latest addition to the By George Podcasting Network, Hey 10 Minutes. This is for all you listeners who complain about podcasts going on too long, who don't have the attention span for an hour-long show. This is a 10 minutes, no longer, no shorter, A10 show, not just featuring the Giant Killer team, but reaching out to other bloggers around the A10. First, we got a special guest for you, Curry Hicks Sage, a popular, everyone's favorite UMass Twitter personality, podcaster himself. And he's here to talk about the challenges each program faces from a program identity perspective. I asked him for 10 minutes. He gave me 25 minutes, so I'm breaking this down into three separate pods. They will drop Wednesday mornings. First up, Episode 1 of Curry Hicks Sage, Hey 10 Minutes. Enjoy it.
By George Nation, Atlantic 10 Nation, UMass Twitter, whomever else is listening to this. This is Curry Hicks Sage, voice of the UMass Basketball Podcast. The fine folks at By George reached out to me probably 2 weeks ago at this point, a week and change ago, asking me to do kind of a 10-minute segment on something A10 related, something a little offbeat, something a little original. I guess they're going to chop it up. So at long last, that is what I'm doing. I decided I'm going to break down what I perceive to be the challenges of each Atlantic 10 program. We all know that the Atlantic 10 is in, or maybe we don't all know, but most people I think who have a savvy understanding of the league understand the challenge of this league. The central challenge of this league is that it's not really a mid-major and it's not really a high major either. It's kind of a three-quarter major. And depending on the year, that could mean five bids, as we saw in 2014. The point of that is it's a weird league with respect to the challenges that each program faces from a competitive advantage standpoint. Other than Dayton and VCU, there really isn't a single program that can kind of expect to be in the NCAA tournament mix 3 out of 4 years, let's say. You know, everybody else is kind of hoping that they're in it 2 out of 4 years, 1 out of every 4 years, and some are just in the kind of 1 out of every 10 years hope. So let's break down kind of where teams are and the challenges they face in terms of being tournament eligible, because that, I think, is the metric, the relevant metric for relevance in this conference. So at the bottom of the league, you have Fordham, LaSalle, I think pretty clearly in a league of their own in terms of just the likelihood of doing anything of significance being very low. Fordham, by all accounts, doesn't give a shit at the administration level, and that's why they keep losing. I happen to think, I've long said this, if they'd make the right hire, and that hire is probably Mike Rice, former Rutgers disgraced coach, but a Fordham alum who I think deserves a second chance after his transgressions. If they could hire him and build a new arena, I think Fordham could be like top half of the league, competing for the top half of the league every year. Now that's, they've never shown themselves committed to doing that, so it's sort of, at this point, it's like, get out of the league. But if you do that, we'd love to have you. There is a benefit of having a New York program. Until that point, you guys are completely irrelevant and you've had like 20 straight losing seasons. LaSalle is in that mix, even though they made the tournament like 6 or 7 years ago now. Was it 2013 that they made that shocking Sweet 16 run where they won 3 games in the tournament under Giannini? Take away that run and Giannini would have been out of there 3-4 years earlier than he was. We're now in year 2 of Ashley Howard, former Villanova assistant who can get players, but the reality is that is a dump of an arena. The school doesn't have the resources to compete in this league. They don't have the fan base to compete in this league. They don't have the investment to compete in this league, and they should be out of this league, quite frankly. They do have the ability to, from all accounts, to get transfers who are Philly kids who haven't quite made it at Power 5 schools, but that's always running a serious risk because you're getting kids who kind of, for one reason or another, were not wanted at the Power 5 school they started at and who are from Philly. You're narrowing the sphere of players to a pretty small group of people, basically transfers from one city, and you can't really rely on that to get, you know, to get to the top half of the league with any sort of consistency. So those two are at the very bottom. Institutional challenges there are kind of similar, but Fordham at least has money, so if they ever hypothetically wanted to invest, they could, but they don't show themselves willing to, so it's kind of, it doesn't matter. Duquesne would have been in this group, but then they went out and decided to build a nice arena by all accounts, or renovate it, theirs at least. I think they might be doing the same with their practice facility, and they paid big money to get Keith Dambrot, who is a terrific head coach, and they've completely taken themselves out of that bottom tier and put themselves, I think, in a tier with, quite frankly, Bonaventure and St. Joe's. The thing is, Bonaventure and St. Joe's have legitimate histories within the last 5 to 10 years of real success and serious fan bases who give a shit. Duquesne does not have that. And basically, if Keith Dambrot retires tomorrow, they could be fucked again. But they've shown a willingness to invest. They are now apparently building a nice arena. Maybe they get back in the mix. It's going to take them a while longer. Their big challenge, I think, is getting people in Pittsburgh to give a shit. That strikes me as the big challenge there. And a little bit like LaSalle, they don't have the same sort of academic pedigree of a Fordham or a Davidson or a Richmond. And so there's not kind of like that smart kid fall through the cracks type that could end up there that sometimes those aforementioned schools I just got have. So Duquesne is kind of an interesting one to look at. They face a lot of the same challenges as the bottom two, but have shown a recent propensity for investment and perhaps could be on the upswing. Remains to be seen, but I think that they're in the right place. Okay, the next tier of schools, and I'm not saying that these are necessarily like, you know, the fourth and fifth lowest on the totem pole. I'm just saying they're kind of peer schools and face similar challenges to a degree, are Bonaventure and St. Joe's. Two Catholic schools that are pretty small, where basketball is absolutely king. Now, Bonaventure, I think, despite their amazing fan base and recent success, I still think is a little too dependent on Mark Schmidt remaining there. Mark Schmidt leaves for the BC job or goes elsewhere. Bonaventure, you know, they'll always be a kind of quirky, relevant, traditionalist type program because they have such a loyal base of fans. But the reality is it's really hard to recruit there. You know, Jim Barron had some nice years there. Other guys have been okay. But it's in today's college basketball world, I just think it's going to get harder and harder. And I think that private schools in general, with a lot of talk in the political landscape of free or at least reduced public school tuition fees, a place like St. Bonaventure is going to struggle to remain an attractive option for students. And so when Mark Schmidt goes, it's going to really require some serious investment for them to stay relevant.
Hold on right there. I got to bring episode one to a halt. This podcast can't be any longer or any shorter than 10 minutes. All music in this show is presented by The Green Machine, George Mason's band. Don't worry, Curry Hicks Sage will be back next Wednesday with episode two, breaking down the challenges each school faces from a program identity perspective. Thanks again for hopping on, bud, and thanks again to all of our listeners. Hey, 10 minutes, we here.